Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, we read together the first 21 verses. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Wherefore he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Thus far we read the divinely inspired scripture this morning. It's on the basis of Matthew 14, which we read, in all of scripture, that we have this morning the instruction of Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Which is the 4th petition. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 50 gives to us an explanation of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And that petition is a prayer for victuals. The biblical word victuals looks like it would be pronounced victuals. And often when we're young, as we sound out the word and reading the scriptures, we say victuals, but the word's actually pronounced victuals. It's an English word that comes from the Latin verb vivere, which means to live. So victuals are those things that are necessary for living, for life. They don't refer to luxuries, but to the necessities of life. A good synonym would be provisions. This word victuals appears in the scripture some 20 times. For example, it appears in Joshua chapter 9, where we read of those deceptive Gibeonites who were terrified of the Israelites because they had heard how Israel conquered that mighty city of Jericho, and now the Gibeonites knew they were next and were fearful that Israel would destroy them. So they pretended that they had come from a far, far country, having been on a long, long journey. They had their worn-out shoes and their worn-out wineskin, wine bottles, and their old moldy bread. And they said, "Our elders have sent us from a far country, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go meet them and make a league with them." So they said to the Israelites, "Here we are. We've been on a long, long journey. We had fresh bread, but now this bread is old and moldy. We had brand new sandals, but now our shoes are worn out. We had brand new wineskin bottles, but now they're old and tattered. Make a league with us." But they referred there to victuals. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. The necessities of earthly life. A New Testament example of the word victuals is found in the passage we read, Matthew 14, verse 15, where a great multitude had gathered around Jesus. It was getting late at night, past supper time. And so the disciples said, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," food. But then Jesus did a miracle and provided bread and fish, victuals, for the people. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is a prayer for victuals. You and I have victuals. We have food and drink and clothing and shelter and health and so on. But where do victuals come from? Do they come from the land? Do they come from the grocery store? Do they come from our employer? Do they come from the cupboard? Do they come from our wallet? We know where faith comes from. We know where righteousness comes from. We know where everlasting glory comes from. But now what about victuals? What about the necessities of earthly life? Where do they come from? And Jesus gives to us the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer to impress upon us that everything, even victuals, come from the Lord. So to Him we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Let's consider that petition this morning, taking as our theme, seeking the Lord for victuals. Noticing first the petition itself, second, God's purpose for it, and third, our confidence in it. Let's take the fourth petition and go word by word to understand it this morning. Beginning with bread. "Give us this day our daily bread." Some have argued that in this petition, Jesus is not referring to physical earthly bread, but He's referring to Himself as the spiritual bread of life come down from heaven. And one of the arguments for that is the instruction of Jesus in connection with the miracle that we read in Matthew chapter 14, the multiplying of loaves and fishes. What's interesting is that if we read the account of this miracle in John chapter 6, There we learn that the Galileans wanted to make Jesus their king because he could multiply bread. But Jesus told them that he did not come to be their earthly king, but he is the bread of life come down from God out of heaven, the true spiritual manna, and that they need to eat him. They need to eat him by faith. And eating him by faith, they would live forever, have everlasting life. But the Galileans didn't want that. They didn't want his blood and his flesh and eating him by faith for salvation. They simply wanted an earthly kingdom with physical bread, so they all turned and walked away. They didn't want the bread of life. Jesus there, in connection with this miracle, underscored he is the bread of life and that they need him. And there are other passages of which we read concerning the ministry of Jesus where he teaches us not to set our hearts on the things of this earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven and set our hearts upon the treasures of heaven. So on the basis of this kind of instruction of Jesus, some have argued that when Jesus gives the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, he's certainly not referring to physical bread, but in harmony with all of the instruction he gave, he's teaching us to pray every day for him, the spiritual, heavenly bread of life. This understanding is wrong. This is a prayer for physical bread. Now, we certainly may not set our hearts on physical bread and earthly things, victuals, which we're very inclined to do. And we may not be worldly minded like those Galileans were. And we may not be like many professing Christians today who only do want an earthly kingdom and have no appetite for Christ and his salvation, but preach a social gospel that Christ came to save us from poverty, to liberate us from oppression, to take us and give us a better earthly existence. We may not set our hearts on earthly bread, but we may have an interest in our physical lives and in our bodies, and we must take care of ourselves physically. And God is our Father, and as a Father, he has promised to provide for us, not for a part of us only, not only for our soul and our spiritual life. As a Father, he's promised to provide for us, the whole of us, all of us, in the soul and in the body. And God will have us come to him for everything, including bread. So Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread. Now, initially, it might sound rather pious, rather spiritual, very highly spiritual, that we would not go to God for such a lowly thing as earthly bread, but we pray for heavenly, spiritual bread. But in fact, that's not piety. That's arrogance and pride, which leaves the impression that you go to God for spiritual things. But when it comes to the physical needs of the body, then what? You don't go to God? You can take care of yourself with your physical needs in the body? Jesus is teaching us to pray for bread, physical bread. The Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer. It's the model prayer. It contains all the elements of an appropriate prayer. And nowhere does this prayer say anything about our physical needs in the body, except here in the fourth petition. When Jesus teaches us to pray for bread, he's teaching us to pray for victuals, the basic necessities of earthly life. And this is the teaching of the Reformed faith found in Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. So bread, we pray for bread. And bread refers broadly to all the basic necessities of earthly life, victuals. Certainly bread does not refer to luxuries. We do not pray, give us this day our daily allotment of prime rib or tender beef tenderloin or the like, but it's a modest prayer for bread, for all the necessities of earthly life, for food, for drink, for clothing, for a dwelling place in which to live, for a job so that we can earn an income, for health in the body and strength so that we can go to work and earn an income to provide for the needs of the individual or the family and have something to give to the poor. Bread. So remember that next time you pray the Lord's Prayer and you say, give us this day our daily bread, you might be praying, depending on your circumstances, you might be praying for the job that you need. Or you might be praying for the health that you need in your ailing body. Or praying for a bigger home with a growing family. Or praying for extra funds to be able to make the payments, maybe the tuition payments. Bread, the basic necessities of earthly life. Victuals. Day, daily, give us this day our daily bread. These words indicate trust in God, because we are not asking God to give us today what we need for the rest of the year. But we are asking God to give us this day what we need for this day. And that's a prayer of faith. Trust in God, because without faith we worry about the future and we're inclined to pray, Lord, give me this day everything I will need for the rest of the year and to make all the payments I'll need to make for the rest of the year. We worry about the future and we want more than the satisfaction of our needs of this day, but this is a prayer of faith. Or we become greedy and we ask the Lord to give us today bursting barns and an abundance of good things. But Jesus teaches us to pray this very modest, humble prayer of childlike trust in God. Heavenly Father, give to us this day the bread that we need for this day. And then if we come home from work and there's a basket sitting on the table with a loaf of bread and a few small fishes, then we say, thanks, Lord. This is my daily bread, and we trust that tomorrow God will provide for our needs. This day, our daily bread. Give. Give us this day our daily bread. That word give indicates we believe by faith, and we'll come back to this in a moment, that God possesses all these things, and that He's the giver of them, so that we go to Him and say, give to us bread. That's a God-glorifying position because it indicates we believe that victuals do not come from our hand. Victuals do not come by chance. Victuals do not come from the doctor or from merchants or from employers. But ultimately, victuals come from the Lord. So we go to Him and say, give, because He's the giver who has victuals which we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Us. Give us this day our daily bread. Selfishness prays, give to me this day my daily bread. But Jesus teaches us to use the plural, give us, so that we have a brotherly love for the other brothers and sisters, the people of God, that we have an awareness of others in the household of faith, and we are concerned about them, especially if we know a brother in the congregation who's lost his job or someone who's been injured at work and is not able to go to work right now, and the family's having a tough time making ends meet, or someone is very sick and ill. We pray for one another, and not only in the congregation, but we understand that there are needs of the people of God all throughout the world. Most of the people of God we don't even know, but many are impoverished or many are suffering from persecution, and Jesus teaches us to be mindful of them when He gives us the little two-letter word, us. Give us not just me, give us this day our daily bread, mindful of one another. And then fifth and finally, our. Give us this day our daily bread. This little pronoun is profound. For Jesus does not teach us to pray, give us this day daily bread, but he says, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread that is not in our possession right now and for which we pray, it is ours. Give us this day our daily bread. If you work upon agreement with your employer 40 hours a week for a certain wage, then you may appear before your employer at the end of the week and say, give what thou owest. The wage is mine. Give to me my wage. We are now going to God and saying, give to us this day our daily bread. There is contained within that pronoun a sense of right, that there is bread that is ours. And how can that be? Because sinners, of course, could never merit with God, and sinners have a right to nothing from God. For all of us were constituted in our first head and father, Adam, and in the beginning, we had everything in the beautiful Garden of Eden, which was paradise. We had everything. But in our rebellion in Adam, we sinned against God, and thereby we forfeited everything, so that we as sinners have a right to nothing, absolutely nothing. We do not even have a right to one breath of air, to one crumb of bread, to one drop of water. The only thing we deserve is the everlasting condemnation of God in hell, the misery of hell. We have a right to nothing. Then how can we say, give us this day our daily bread? Well, don't you see in that little pronoun, the gospel? Your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to go back to the perspective of the catechism at the very beginning, our only comfort as we live and as we die in our body and in our soul, our only comfort in the body is that we belong to Jesus, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all of our sins and who has obtained righteousness for us, so that with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we have a right to all of those things that God has promised to us. We have a right to everlasting life, and we have a right to what God has promised for us in our body. Victuals. We have no right to victuals of ourselves as sinners, but with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we have a right to those things which are in the giver's hands, God our Father. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that is the bread that is ours for Jesus' sake. And then we do not place demands upon God. We pray as Jesus teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. But we don't demand from God how much and when. God in his wisdom and goodness, we leave it to him to determine what he will give us as bread and when he will give it to us as bread. We pray in the confidence that we belong to Jesus. Give to us this day our daily bread. That's the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer in which we seek the Lord for victuals. The Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50 is essentially an explanation of God's purpose with this petition. Why will God have us pray this petition? This is the answer of the Catechism. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that. And now here comes three expressions of God's purpose with this petition. That, number one, we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. Number two, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And number three, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. God's purpose in this petition is one, we acknowledge him as the only fountain of good. Two, we acknowledge that we need with victuals his blessing. And three, we withdraw our trust from creatures and place it in him alone. Now, before we take a closer look at these three activities expressed here in the Catechism, let's take a moment to underscore and understand that these are activities of faith, true faith. Only by faith will we acknowledge that God is the fountain of all good. Only by faith will we acknowledge that we need God's blessing. And only by faith will we be able to withdraw our trust from creatures and place it in God alone, which is faith. That Jesus gives us faith is the real significance of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. A miracle is an extraordinary wonder of God that calls attention to our glorious salvation in Christ and some aspect of that salvation. Now, what do we learn from the feeding of the 5,000? That miracle found in Matthew chapter 14. Well, we certainly learn that Jesus is able and willing to provide us with bread miraculously, immediately, compassionately, and powerfully. So we all know that Jesus is able and willing to give us bread, to take care of our needs in the body. But it's not a miracle that God gives us bread. God gives us bread. God gives us victuals. That's not a miracle in the strict sense of the word. That's simply the outworking of God's providence that he gives us bread. Even when it seems miraculous, it's not a miracle. Even when it seems miraculous because we get in the mail a bill and we don't have the ability to pay it. And a couple days later, before the bill is due at the end of the month, all of a sudden there's a check in the mail from some anonymous giver, some believer, evidently. And we look at that and say, what a miracle. Now we can pay what we didn't think we could pay. Or we're ill, we have some disease, and we go to the doctor, and he can't quite diagnose it, doesn't exactly understand what's going on inside our body, and everything looks very grim. The future does, and a couple months later, we're completely healed. Our strength is restored. The ailment is gone. We say, nobody saw that coming. That's a miracle, that health. But those are not miracles. Those aren't miracles. Those are simply providence, the outworkings of God's providence. Now, rather unusual, amazing, joyful, but those are not miracles. That is God doing what God promised he would do by his providence, provide for our needs in the body. A miracle is an extraordinary wonder of God that calls attention to some aspect of our salvation. Miracle. There is a miracle that happens in our life. And it's not that God gives us bread. The miracle is faith. The gift of faith that the Holy Spirit works in us faith so that we trust in God. Faith is the wonder of wonders. In a world of unbelief, we have faith. The miracle is not that God puts bread on our table, even in an extraordinary way we didn't see coming. The miracle is that we acknowledge Him as the only fountain of all good, when by nature we and all men despise Him. The miracle is not that we have bread. The miracle is that we by faith ask God for more than bread. We ask for His blessing, and we believe He will give His blessing for Jesus' sake, when by nature we despise Him and His blessing. The miracle is not that God puts bread on our table. The miracle is that we withdraw our trust from bread, from creatures, and from ourselves, and we place our trust in God alone. Faith is the great miracle. The miracle is not that we come home and there's a basket on our table with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's simply God providing for us by His providence as He has promised. The miracle is that we trusted He would provide. The miracle is that we thank Him. For by nature, we are full of unbelief, as all men are unbelievers. We deny God, hate God, and will never acknowledge God. The great miracle in our life, our salvation, is faith, that we believe in God. Now let's take a closer look at those 3 activities in Lord's Day 50, which are the expression of God's purpose with this petition. Why will God have us pray for victuals? Why will He give to Jesus this petition so that Jesus teaches us to say, give us this day our daily bread? Well, the Catechism says, number one, here's the first purpose of God, that we acknowledge Him, the only fountain of good. God is good, infinitely good in Himself, but God is also good to His creatures. All good things come from God. Faith comes from God. Forgiveness comes from God. Righteousness comes from God. Everlasting glory comes from God. It all comes from God. But God's goodness also extends to the natural realm. It is only God who can send rain. It is only God who can cause the crops to grow and the fields to be ripe with a great harvest so that there's food for man and beast. Only God can put a king on the throne who will allow us to have the freedom to go to work, to move around, to have a job, to be able to go to school, to go to church. Only God can give us scientists and doctors who will work with the powers of the creation and produce medicines that we can use for our bodies, or develop new procedures and new surgeries to be able to help us in our ailments and alleviate our pain. Only God can keep our heart beating right now, beat after beat after beat, with the breath of life. When we seek the Lord for victuals, when we fold our hands and bow our heads and we pray, Lord God, we pray to Thee, give us this day our daily bread. That prayer is an acknowledgement that God and God alone is the fountain of all good. All good comes from God. And so it's a God-glorifying petition in which we honor Him as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that's why He will have us pray this petition. We acknowledge Him. Secondly, as the Catechism explains, God will have us pray this prayer, thereby seeking His blessing. For neither our care nor industry nor even God's gifts can profit us without His blessing. Not only is God the giver of victuals, God gives what no one else can give. His blessing, His grace, His favor in Jesus Christ, so that all these things actually profit us in His kingdom. All good things come from God. But if God does not give us His blessing with good things like health and strength, a job, daily bread, then those things are a curse. God gave many good things to King Herod, about whom we read in Matthew 14. At Herod's birthday party, you can be sure expensive wine was flowing, and there were all kinds of dainties and luxuries on the table. And God gave all those good things to Herod and all of the men and women who were with him at his birthday party. But those good things do not profit Herod. In fact, they are a curse to Herod. There's no common grace to the wicked. No grace of God in temporal things that He gives to the wicked. Good things are a curse to the wicked. For God gives to Herod all kinds of good things, and thereby God reveals the perversity of Herod's heart, that Herod will receive all these good things from the hand of God, but will not take even 5 seconds to thank God. How perverse is ungodly man! And all these good things that God gives to the wicked, they aggravate the judgment of the wicked. They make the judgment that will come upon the wicked heavier. Their condemnation the heavier that God gives them good things, but they will not acknowledge Him or thank Him. Victuals all by themselves, they are no blessing to us. God will have us pray this petition, seeking Him for victuals, because He's the only one who can give a blessing, His grace and favor with these victuals. As the Catechism says, without that blessing, our care, our industry, God's gifts, they will not profit us. We can put all kinds of care and industry and labor into our job, into our body, seeking the surgeon and the doctor. Without God's grace in Jesus Christ, these things will profit us nothing. We need His blessing. For example, we need His blessing of wisdom in Jesus Christ. Wisdom. We can be very industrious. We can be very savvy, very creative as a businessman in our business. But if God does not give us wisdom with all of the good things that we have, the wisdom of a steward, we will waste our goods and have nothing to show for our labor, which is so often the case with the ungodly. We need more than victuals. We need God's wisdom in Jesus Christ. Or, for example, we need peace. The peace of God. The knowledge that we are reconciled unto Him through the blood of the cross. We need that peace in our hearts with our victuals. Because you know, you could go to, let's say, a birthday party. Not a wicked party like King Herod, but a family gathering with all kinds of friends and family celebrating the gift of life from the Lord God. And there's a table on which sits the fatted calf and all kinds of dainties and luxuries, and the large family and the friends are gathered around, and everyone's making merry, rejoicing and rejoicing in the Lord. But you're sitting there with your fork, picking and poking away at your food, and you have no appetite. You can't eat, and you're not making merry. You're not rejoicing. You're not having a good time like others are having a good time. because you sinned last night. You did something really wicked. No one knows about it, but you do. You sinned against God, maybe against someone else. And your conscience is so plagued, it's gnawing at you. Your stomach is upset. You have no appetite. All you want to do is leave and go run out into the darkness and fall down on your hands and knees, having smote your breast and crying out to God. The guilt is too much. The shame is too much. I don't even know yet what the consequences are going to be for what I did last night. Lord God, I'm overwhelmed by the guilt of my sin. Forgive me. Blot out this iniquity. Declare unto me that I have peace with Thee in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that peace, you can have all the victuals in the world. And there won't be any enjoyment. We don't want mere victuals, bread, and possessions, and health and strength. We want God's blessing in Jesus Christ. And that God will cause these things then to profit us and not be a curse unto us. And so God will have us go to Him and say, give us this day our daily bread. To Him, the one who in Jesus Christ is willing not only to give us the bread, but to give us His blessing, peace in the heart, and assurance of His love, and all of the other riches that are in Christ Jesus. And the knowledge then that these things will profit us. And third, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that God's purpose in giving us this petition is that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in Him alone. Isn't it a shame that we trust in creatures way too much? We do. We're rather wealthy. We have much. Materially. And it's so easy to live day by day without God, without consciously relying upon God. Now, we would never say, I trust in things or myself and not in God. We'd never say that. But very practically, day after day after day, it's very easy to trust in creatures. And even if things start to go awry just a little bit, maybe we lose our job, well, then we'll just get right on the phone and make some phone calls and we'll find ourselves a new job. Or maybe God sends some illness, some disease, some injury, and we'll quickly call the doctor and we'll line up a prescription, or maybe we'll need a surgery and we'll be back on our feet. We don't really need God, or so we sometimes think. And then it's been 3 months or 4 months, and we still can't find a job. And the bills are adding up, and the family's starting to suffer. Now we really come to the conscious conviction, we need God. Or there's an injury or a disease, some illness, and now it's been month after month after month, none of the medication's working. We feel rotten. It's getting worse and worse. It's now been a half a year. Then we really come to the conscious conviction, we need God. Nowhere to go but God. But beloved, it shouldn't take adversity to bring us to the conclusion that we need God. We need Him moment by moment. And God will have us withdraw our trust from creatures and place it in Him alone. And so He teaches us to pray as we do pray from a true heart of faith, give us this day our daily bread, and offer that petition in the consciousness that we need Him, and we place our trust in Him and in Him alone. Even when things are going very, very well, we place our trust in God alone for victuals and all things. Praying this petition as it was given to us by our Lord, to whom we belong, we have confidence. Our confidence is that no matter how God answers this petition, maybe He gives us an abundance, maybe He gives us only a little bit, no matter how God answers this petition, maybe He gives us good health and strength in the body and we feel really good, or maybe He brings adversity to us and we feel sick and our body is riddled with disease. No matter how God answers this petition, maybe we're John the Baptist. Maybe we spoke out against the king because of his unlawful marriage and now we've been thrown in jail. And from our jail cell, we will continue to pray, Lord, for Jesus' sake, give me this day my daily bread. And no sooner do we wake up and offer that petition to God from our jail cell than the door opens and into our cell walks the soldiers of the king with their bright, shiny, sharp sword, and they've come to behead us in order to please the young damsel who is dancing before the king. We pray to God to take care of us. And by the end of the day, men have come and beheaded us for faithfulness to God. No matter how God answers this prayer for victuals, we always have confidence. Confidence in Jesus Christ who died for us. Confidence of these three things. Number one, God's will shall be done. No matter how God answers this prayer, God's will shall be done, and God's will is always good for us. Lord's Day 49. No matter how God answers this prayer for victuals, we have this confidence: His kingdom will come through this. And if men come to behead us, then God's kingdom comes in a powerful way, for our soul is immediately taken into heaven, as was the case with John the Baptist, to be in the presence of God. No matter how God answers this petition, His kingdom will come through it. It's Lord's Day 48. And no matter how God answers this petition for victuals, we have the confidence that His name will be hallowed. For God does everything for the glory of His name. And even if we pray for our physical health in the body and we end up being beheaded in a jail cell later that day, God's name will be hallowed. And there will be disciples who hear about this and who blaze abroad through the countryside the faithfulness of God and His grace to John the Baptist, that God gave John a faith so strong he was willing to give up his life for the sake of God. Now, who is a God like unto our God that gave to John that kind of faith and love for the Lord Jesus? Hallowed be the name of our God. No matter how God answers this prayer for victuals, have this confidence: His name will be hallowed, and His kingdom will come, and His will be done, and it is always good. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, teach us to cast ourselves upon Thee by faith. Take away our pride, our sense of self-reliance, that we can move through this earthly life down the pilgrimage path, the pilgrim's pathway that has been marked out for us, relying upon ourselves. How could it be? We are so frail and weak and sinful. Lord, take away that pride. And now give us in this new week a stronger faith to rely upon Thee moment by moment for everything, in the soul and in the body. And that to the hallowing of Thy name. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.